I'd like to offer you a reading from Aunt Irma's Cope Book by Irma Bombeck. I figured out long ago that guilt was like mothers. Everyone in the world has at least one. And it was passed down like a torch to the next generation. I didn't have a friend who hadn't heard of her mother's 36 hours of hard labor, the stretch marks that would never tan. By the time I was 25, I had a list of things I was going to regret for the rest of my life that covered a wall. If you let that baby cry while you polish your nails, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. If you don't get out of that bed and take an antibiotic and go to school to see Andy dressed as a grain of wheat in the Thanksgiving pageant, you are going to regret it for the rest of your life. By the time I was 30, I knew enough about guilt to start spreading a little of it myself. After all, how would my children know anything about it if I didn't set an example? My ace in the hole was the I'll do it myself number. When I asked my husband or one of the children to take the garbage cans to the curb and they didn't respond right away, I'd paddle out in the darkness in a pair of bedroom slippers, preferably in the snow, a coat that didn't fit, no hat and no gloves, and begin to drag the cans noisily to the curb, inch by inch, holding my side. It was important in this operation to say little, just wince, strain, and occasionally yell to a neighbor, "How lucky you are to have people who love you." Irma Bombeck sounds like the proverbial Jewish mother, adept at instilling guilt. But she was raised Catholic. Of course, Catholic guilt is also legendary. Now, Catholic and Jewish guilt are just cultural stereotypes. But the fact is, because religious traditions in general deal with ethics and moral codes, they also deal with the complex emotion of guilt. Different religious traditions have ritualized various processes whereby guilt can be dealt with. Catholics have the periodic confession to a priest. In the Jewish tradition, the High Holy Days provide an opportunity to face guilt and set things right. Hindu traditions deal with personal guilt via petitions to a specific god and the recitation of mantras, and so on. You can find guilt being dealt with in many traditions. When I was a young Catholic, I often felt very guilty. And sometimes I was at a loss to explain to myself what I had done to merit this deep guilt. I especially remember a part of the Catholic Mass, the Confession of Sins, during which we would lightly beat our chest and recite, "Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." I sometimes wondered, when it came to that part of the Mass, through my fault? But what did I do? I concluded that I must be a pretty bad sinner, although I didn't understand why. One of the clearest memories I have is of scrunching down behind my desk in catechism class and trying not to be called on by the nun. We were at the time taking turns reading in a Catholic weekly reader, and what we happened to be reading that day was from a list of, and just naming the list of, the many possible sins we could commit. And so I was scrunching down and pleading silently, "Please, oh, please don't call on me." I tried not to hear the list as it was being read. I didn't want to know all the possible things I could do wrong. I was afraid that I had done them all. And I figured that God couldn't hold me responsible for committing sins that I didn't know were sins. Guilt is a very strong and enduring feeling, and memories of guilt are among the most vivid memories that we carry around. I would guess that most of you can remember instances in your childhood or adulthood when you were beset by guilt. As a child, I often felt vaguely guilty, even though I didn't know what I was doing wrong. I became convinced that I was just bad, somehow. Although the worst transgressions I remember were things like fighting with my sister and lying to a teacher about what happened to my homework. In recent years, it has become fashionable to dismiss guilt as a feeling we would all do well to be rid of. Popular self-help books assert that guilt is an unnecessary emotion, left over from old religious mores and less liberated times. And there are therapists these days who attempt to eradicate guilt from their clients' emotional menu. Guilt. Who needs it? Oof. It's an uncomfortable, anxiety-producing, non-liberated feeling. It is even harmful in its severest forms. Certainly, the pervasive sense of guilt that was instilled in me by the church of my childhood was non-productive, if not destructive. We Unitarian Universalists have not been particularly fond of guilt. We tend to associate it with that old-time religion, that Calvinistic perspective that our religious forebears reacted against. That perspective which sees humans as depraved sinners in need of redemption. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard a Unitarian Universalist say something like this. I don't accept guilt. I think guilt is a negative and unnecessary emotion. I don't feel guilty anymore. I accept responsibility, not guilt. Many of us Unitarian Universalists have come from religious traditions similar to my own, where guilt was used as a means of manipulation and control, to keep children in line or to impose on them a particular ethic or sexual morality. Some of us may have grown up with an authoritarian or blaming parent or teacher, and these folks tend to be experts in instilling feelings of guilt. So we may eagerly jump on the anti-guilt bandwagon of modern enlightened culture. Guilt certainly can be destructive and debilitating. It can erode self-esteem. It can mold people into bland, frightened conformists who are too other-directed, too focused on pleasing others to act on their own or make decisions for themselves. Or intense guilt can have the opposite effect. A child who is made to feel guilty for any small infraction can become a rebel as an adult, acting out in excess behaviors that were once taboo. And this can lead down the path to self-destructiveness or harm to others. Despite these unpleasant effects of guilt, and despite the downright discomfort that guilty feelings can cause, I have come to believe that guilt is a necessary, a universal, maybe even a biologically based feeling, and that it has an important role to play in human society and in our personal lives. We have all heard of people who have committed heinous crimes of senseless violence who are said to feel no remorse, no guilt. We shake our heads in disbelief. We call these people sociopaths. Fortunately, they are the exception. Also an exception, again, fortunately, are those who manage to repress or just live with guilt that most of us would find intolerable. Corporate executives, for instance, who try to maximize profits at the expense of people's lives by dumping, for instance, toxic chemicals that have been banned in the U.S. on third world countries, or manipulating the amount of nicotine in cigarettes to foster addiction, or drawing absurdly huge salaries and bonuses while taking government bailouts, denying employees benefits, or trying to keep them from organizing for fair wages. This is highly repressed guilt or ignored. The Occupy movement of a few years ago was trying to call attention to the apparent lack of guilt that corporate executives who engage in these kinds of practices seem to feel. I think about the people who are part of the ISIS movement who commit terrible acts of violence, and I have to believe that some of them at least feel some of this guilt, although they repress it. They do explain their actions using religious beliefs to justify what they do, but it seems to me some of them must still feel the guilt somewhere. Well, most of us are well acquainted with what guilt feels like. We feel guilty when we lash out in anger, when we hurt someone's feelings, when we indulge in damaging gossip, when we tell little lies or larger ones, when we shirk responsibilities, even sometimes when we cheat on a diet or an exercise program. In general, we feel guilt when we fall short of our own moral code or our own expectations. We might prefer to say we feel responsible rather than guilty, but whatever we want to call it, the uncomfortable feeling that we blew it remains, and it is a normal, healthy feeling. Guilt is the call of the conscience, demanding that we right whatever wrong we have been responsible for. Severe guilt, of course, can be debilitating. Therapist Edward Stein distinguishes neurotic guilt from normal guilt. Neurotic guilt is an excessive, inappropriate, anxious, self-punishing kind of guilt that never seems to find resolution, that never lets us rest. Stein believes that most of us have some mixture of neurotic and normal guilt feelings in our lives. When is our guilt an appropriate call of the conscience, and when is it just a nagging leftover from a childhood spent guiltily trying to please an overly stern deity or a blaming, punishing adult? It may be instructive to ask ourselves this question in each instance when we are aware that we have guilty feelings. Because guilt is so uncomfortable, we may sometimes try to avoid it by attempting to cast blame for our own failure onto someone else. This blame casting can be quite irrational. When my sister and I were children, we had a relative who would sometimes blurt out, "Now look what you made me do." When she made a mistake, like spilling milk or breaking a glass. My sister told me that once upon spilling something, she heard herself echoing these words to her son. As we often do with communication patterns that we have learned as children. But unlike my sister and myself as children, my nephew challenged his mother. "How did I make you do that?" he asked. That innocent question made her aware of the irrationality of casting blame in this way, and she never said it again. Attempts like these to duck from guilt don't work for most of us for very long, and we soon find ourselves feeling even more guilty and apologizing for our irrational blaming. Guilt can be a positive force, one that helps us transcend our selfishness or pride. If we recognize it, face it squarely, and deal with it directly, psychologist Rollo May has said that when therapists try to dilute or eliminate their clients' normal feelings of guilt, they may be unwittingly taking away their clients' most powerful motivation for change. A guilty conscience divides us against ourselves. It separates us from those whom we've hurt or whom we've neglected or betrayed. It causes us to feel temporarily alienated from the world. It is a profoundly lonely experience. As with other lonely confrontations with the self, We can learn much about ourselves from wrestling with this demon guilt. We can also strengthen our inner selves and mend our broken relationships by facing our guilt and allowing it to call us out of ourselves toward apology and reconciliation. Guilt can also be a call to a sense of justice and to commitment to positive social change. We feel compassion, and I believe a bit of normal guilt as well, when we learn of people's suffering. Social activism helps to help correct the injustices that we can't help but see in the world around us, maybe primarily motivated by compassion, but I suspect that there is a measure of guilt involved as well. Guilt when we find that we are among the haves in a world of many have-nots. Guilt is a glue which can bind the human community together. Psychologist Otto Rank and others have suggested that there is a built-in biological sense of guilt which serves to curb our selfishness and motivates us to act with compassion, thereby preserving the human species from its self-destructive tendencies. These high holy days in the Jewish calendar are a time set aside for meditation, for honest soul searching, and for dealing constructively with the inevitable feelings of guilt that are a part of the human experience. The writer Anais Nin once said, "Guilt is the one burden human beings can't bear alone." The wisdom of the Jewish tradition of confession, repentance, and atonement during these holy days is that these acts are done collectively, in community. On Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, in temples and in synagogues, people collectively confess their transgressions and wrongdoings, those of the past year, and ask God to forgive all broken vows and promises made to God or to oneself. Broken promises or wrongs committed against other people must be dealt with directly, person to person. This means experiencing and recognizing your feelings of guilt and then going directly to the person you have wronged and apologizing. The high holy days also provide a chance to forgive yourself for falling short at times, a chance to wipe the slate clean, to start a new year less burdened by that sharp tug of conscience we call guilt. What if each of us periodically took a private inventory of our guilty feelings and tried to discern if they are just neurotic preoccupations or if they might be the call of conscience inviting us to right a wrong? Then our normal guilt could be coped with by putting it to use as the inspiration for reconciliation and healing. I had a dream that stayed with me long ago, but it has stayed with me for all these years. It consisted of a still visual image and sounds. That's all the dream was. The image was of a beautiful baby curled up in a basket asleep. My eyes saw the baby, the image of innocence, but my ears heard the sounds of human cruelty. There were metal doors clanging shut, the sounds of soldiers yelling sharp commands, and fires crackling. And in the dream, I became aware that I was hearing sounds of the Nazi Holocaust of World War II. What I felt in the dream was a profound sense of guilt. Obviously, the guilt could not be over anything I had done personally, since I wasn't even born until just after that gruesome time. I was feeling the guilt one feels at the realization of how unspeakably cruelly we human beings have it within ourselves to act toward one another. Along with this guilt about the human potential for evil, I also felt a deep love for humanity through love for this baby was in my visual image. And upon waking, it became clear to me how intricately guilt and love are woven together. Guilt, I realized, is born out of love. It arises when love has gone awry, and the anxiety of guilt is relieved by answering the call of love. Earlier, I mentioned that part of the traditional Catholic Mass in which penitents smite their hearts and confess their fault, a ritual that I was confused by as a child because I didn't understand what I had done wrong. I was too young for the deep introspection required to uncover and deal with my guilt. So for me at that time, the ritual was empty. In the Jewish tradition, there is a similar custom of beating one's heart while reciting the Yom Kippur Confession of Sins. But without true remorse, without the love out of which guilt and wrongdoing is born, this too can be just an empty ritual. To paraphrase a famous rabbi, Israel Meir, with which I close, forgiveness comes not to those who smite their hearts in ritual confession. It comes to those whose hearts smite them for the wrongs they have done.